Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty. It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
What's Vancouver? Three questions. I'll try and be positive. Full of energy, you know, just having seen Everton smash Liverpool. Hasn't put me in the best mood. I won't lie to you, fellas.
Right. I'm a Chelsea supporter, so we don't have to talk about Premier League at all this week.
We don't have to.
It never happened.
At least you came off a TFC win.
Yeah, but I'm not really a TFC fan necessarily, right?
No, but at least he was a little bit more positive doing that three questions.
There you go. No, well, actually, no. We're recording that tomorrow. After the Simcoe Rovers game. TFC three That's questions, right. Yeah, because they're playing tonight against Simcoe Rovers, so we're doing it tomorrow morning. So I should be fresh for Vancouver Whitecaps three questions, but we'll see. It's okay. Ipswich, by the way, looking like it could be promoted. So that's good, Craig. At least we can have some positivity from the Premier League standpoint today.
Hey, that's incredible what they're doing. It really is. When you look at the other teams around there and the parachute payments and the amount of money that they've got, they are really – really are hopefully spoiling the party.
Mm-hmm. And listen, this is a Whitecaps podcast, but with the Craig Forrest connection to Ipswich and a BC boy, right? There's the connection.
Well, Trevor Wymar came from Ipswich and won the soccer bowl with him in the 70s.
Oh, okay. Well, there's another one. The other guy.
Arnold Muren came to Vancouver Whitecaps.
I'm trying to think who else he got here now. Ipswich connections. Jamie Peters never played in Vancouver.
We're not mirroring it.
Oh, Frank, not mirroring it.
I have to shout out to last week. You guys brought up Alan Hinton's name, and we actually had him on the pregame show last week ahead of the Whitecaps match. So it was great to chat with him, and it's good to kind of bring back some of those memories as well. And he loved it as well. He said he was torn going into the game between Seattle and the Vancouver Whitecaps. So it was good to chat with him and get into some of the stories. And thanks for bringing it up last week. Good job.
That's awesome.
Did he tell you about when he got mooned by Johnson?
No, he didn't get into that one. He got into the stories, though. It was good.
It was actually, Franz Tyson, not Arnold Muren, that went to.
Oh, Jesus, Craig. Get it right.
Yeah. Jesus. Muren, another legend.
To start recording this again now on me. I got that wrong.
2.5 minutes in.
Yeah, I know. All right, three questions. Listen, Vancouver bounced back nicely, coming off that big win against Seattle, despite the Sounders getting two red cards in that one. But regardless, a really impressive win, another road win there for Vancouver. Up against New York Red Bulls. Actually, no, it was in Vancouver, wasn't it?
It was in Seattle.
Oh, no, so it was. Yeah, that's right. Of course it was. And they're at New York.
You want to start this over?
This weekend. I'm not going to say. I'm a little bit, for some reason, freaking Everton. You can blame Everton for that. I'm kind of a little bit not too focused right now. No, up against New York Red Bull this Saturday in New York as well.
The Caps have been really good on the road. Perfect so far this season. So, this would be a good test. this weekend, and they showed really well in Seattle. Just to kind of tie up that match against Seattle, it was another road victory. The team travels well. They can hit on the counter on those, like a high press that led to the two goals. And you mentioned the red card that, it might have changed the game. But even before that, 11-11, I thought the Whitecaps were in control of the game, were able to retain possession, didn't look threatened at all by anything that Seattle was throwing their way. So it was another good road performance by the Whitecaps, red cards aside.
The road performances, we talked about that after, I think, the second road win that they had, and saying how well they look as though they suit playing away from home. That continued against Seattle. That must bode well for the rest of the season to scare a few teams playing at home against Vancouver.
Yeah, I was talking to Vanni Sartini in the post-match show and discussed that. Basically, in the past year, almost a calendar year now, they've been very good away from home, and it took them about a year to get a road win last year. I think we were talking about it as well around August last year. They couldn't win away from home, and I asked them what's been the biggest difference. They've made a few changes to how they approach road games, but then he said that the biggest difference is we're better. We're just better, more confident, more complete team than we were in years past, and I think that you're seeing that on the pitch right now, home or away, to start this season. So just more confidence in what they're doing and understanding of the game plan and the structure and the way they want to play. So a very clear identity. Yes, they'll give up possession for the most part in most games. They'll look to hit quickly on the counter, and they've had varying degrees of success already in the early part of this season. But that high press is so dangerous as well, and they created those two goals against Seattle from that high press. Kubas, first of all, on that first goal by Ryan Gold, creating the turnover, and then it was Krylak kind of forcing the defender towards Brian White, and then he did this again. He just kind of nicks it off the defender and creates an opportunity for himself. Brian White scoring once again. So, this team is built to play away from home. But then you look at that game against Seattle, and the red cards almost could have potentially worked against them, because sometimes the Caps can struggle breaking a team down when they can concede in sort of a lower block and allow the team to kind of build up, and the Whitecaps will struggle to find a way through. That's what can happen when you're down a man. But that high press, again, created opportunities for the Caps. And I feel like that's the identity of this team, and that's probably why they travel so well.
Well, I'll quickly ask you about Seattle. This is a poor start for them. It's not normal for this club with such great success. They've only scored, I think, 9 goals a season. I think 5 of them were against Montreal. Is that the real issue? Is up top, or is it overall as a team creating chances?
Yeah, I think it's more of a team issue all around the park, because they still have quality up top, Morris in particular, and you can see the threat that he possesses. But it's just coming off disjointed right now. And it's a tough match to assess when you look at that game, because for so much of it, they played a man down. But like I said, 11-11, even when they were there, it was hard to see how they would find a way through in the attack, where the difference makers would be. Maybe Nuhu on the left side, giving them a numerical superiority on the left side. That could have maybe created some chances for them. But yeah, generally speaking, it's hard to see where the goals come from in the buildup.
You know, you look back and how the season began with Vanni Sartini suspended, and how there wasn't much spending really in the off season. Similar team, third looking right now, looking fantastic. Very much 9-10 games in, very much looking like a genuine contender for the title. It's been a fantastic start to the season, because after 9-10 games, you pretty much know what you have, I think. I think it's fair to say we can actually look at Vancouver and say, okay, this team's legitimate at this point. It's not early in the season anymore.
Right. Yeah, you got a big enough sample size now. And you talk about the suspensions. This was interesting. This last game is the first road game that Vanni Sartini had managed from the touchline. And he said going into the game, so going onto the pitch, generally, he would give that pregame talk, but because it works so well with Mike D'Agostino away from home, he gave those duties to him. So he's handed that off as well on the road here to just kind of keep the good mojo going. Whatever works, keep going with it. If it ain't broke, right, don't fix it.
Yeah, he isn't a great manager. Delegates, right? Does nothing himself. That's what smart managers do.
No, exactly. Yeah, and he's always been about that. It's the same with the team, right? It's the team, no individual player. I think he looks at the coaching staff similarly, where it's about the entire group.
All right, our three questions this week will revolve around Brian White, around the power rankings. I love a good power rankings.
Yes.
And the new signing came late in the transfer deadline, Giuseppe Bovolina. So let's start with Brian White and where he ranks in Whitecaps history. He tied Camillo for most goals in the MLS era this past weekend. A really, really well-taken goal as well. Is it too soon to have this conversation, given that he only arrived in 2021, but the goal scoring speaks for itself? He's been, if not prolific, pretty damn close.
Yeah, I know. He's been incredible and doesn't score from the spot, doesn't take penalties for the team either. So it's always an open play. And yeah, he's sort of kind of taking this role and taking this on his shoulders that he is going to be the goal scorer. He loves that everybody is scoring, but at the same time, when they need a goal, he's usually the one that's coming up with it. Very good in the air, obviously, we've seen. And then this other thing that he's developed, this skill to kind of nick the ball off a defender and create opportunities, is incredible too. I talked to him in the broadcast call before, and I was wondering, like, asking him, are there any tells? Is there anything that you're doing? Because it seems like every other week he's getting one of these chances. Sometimes he's converting, sometimes he isn't. But, you know, he'll block something from the goalkeeper creating the chance, or yeah, just nick it off the defender coming from behind. Whatever it is, he's very good at this. And he says, no, it's just pressure and hustle, which is his identity as well. It's been in his DNA. It's the way he's always played. So he's always pressed and always just looking to keep constantly providing pressure on the defenders. And I guess that's why he gets these chances. But he's creating them for himself, and then he's putting them away as well. And, yeah, it's a leading scorer once again for the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Do you think it's down to his confidence, most of it? Because he's always good for goals, but the ratio he's at right now is really impressive.
Yeah, and I guess that happens. I mean, you would have seen with strikers at every level too, Craig. Like, he's at that age now, 28, where he's seen a lot of it too. And he's gone through these moments over and over again, 1v1 situations, crosses coming in. And I've always thought that, you know, strikers kind of mature at that age in the late 20s, early 30s. You've just seen enough of it. You get a better understanding of, yeah, the goalkeeper and everything. You're really calmer in this situation as opposed to like a Nicholas Jackson for Chelsea who just seems to keep getting opportunities and missing, right? Like, there's a maturity about it, like, as a striker. The more you've seen, I think, yeah, it helps you just be calmer in those moments.
I love it when strikers say, oh, it's just, you know, pressure and hard work. Like, it's so much more than just that. I mean, that's very modest for a striker to say that.
No, of course it is. But it is remarkable. Like, if you watch these games, you wonder why, like, defenders don't see it coming. But it seems like every week he's getting one of these where he just kind of sneaks up on the defender and just slicks it away and gets a breakaway. It's crazy.
I'm sorry, laughing here. Just Craig's cat's just walked on shot, and that particular cat's got a it's got a cone around his head. It's got a paw issue, hasn't it?
It's like a lantern. She got her head stuck in a light shade.
I was trying to think of some striker goal scoring joke there when she walked past, but it didn't come. There's no Brian White cat joke. That's so obvious.
I think the Liverpool strikers have those on right now.
I think so. Darwin Nunez, bloody well should have.
He's got a cone on his head.
God,
blinkers.
Brian White, he's got a cap for the States, right? Earlier this year, I think.
He's appeared for the States. And that's still on his radar as well, and something that he's continuing to pursue and hoping that he gets those calls more frequently, because you look at strikers and the rate that he's scoring, he's putting himself in the conversation for sure.
And football up top, it's all about combinations, right? Him and Ryan Gold work so well together. I forget the numbers now, but since they both arrived in 2021, but they're one of the highest scoring for both goals and assists combos in all of Major League Soccer.
The connection is incredible. And when you see it play out in real time, it's fun to watch, especially at BC Place, the home games. You could see the run. And there was one, it was the match before the Seattle one, the Galaxy game, where Galaxy had most of the possession. And it was on a quick transition, a turnover. Ryan Gold immediately put it forward and right onto Brian White's foot. So they're always on the same page, always looking for each other. And that connection's deadly. They've created quite the partnership up top.
All right, let's move on to our next question, shall we? This is one I know you've been looking forward to, Asa. MLS power rankings.
Yeah.
MLS soccer has them at 5. My question to you is, why should we even care about power rankings?
Because it's something fun to talk about. I'm surprised Footy Prime doesn't have power rankings. Come on. Debating power
What's
rankings?
The point? What's the point of them?
How do you have Columbus at one? What are you thinking? What's going on here?
I just don't see the relevance of them at all. I look at the table. There's my power rankings.
Yeah, that's the table speaks for itself. That's a fair point. But it is fun to debate, especially when you look at, you think about a team like the Vancouver Whitecaps are always wanting eyeballs. Why isn't anyone talking about us? Why aren't we higher in the table? You're right. The table speaks for itself when you look at the Western Conference and Eastern Conference. But power rankings add something a little bit extra. You can talk about, you know, the matchups that teams have maybe gone up against. And for the Vancouver Whitecaps, they haven't beaten an upper echelon top tier opponent yet at this stage of the season. So that's probably why the MLS power rankings has them a little bit lower. But they're the only team that's perfect away from home. I think there's something to be said for that. And when you're taking points away from other teams, there's a reason why they aren't as high as they could have been, right? Like, if you're taking points away from the other team, then they can't be further up the standing. So the Whitecaps have an impact on where their opposition is at in the table as well.
I'm not sold.
And they don't care. The players don't care where they're ranked.
In fact,
if they're ranked like 20th, they'd be happy with that. They'd be like, fine, you put us where we'll figure this
out. Right.
Yeah, under the radar, you know, it's fine. You put us at 20, but we win this damn thing. You know, last laugh's on you.
Yeah.
Were the power rankings when you played the game? I forget. I'm not being facetious there, but.
No, just the FIFA rankings. FIFA rankings are.
Well, they're even more ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
That's another thing altogether.
I understand, we're always trying to invent reasons to have debate, you know, and converse, but just power rankings, basically, it's the form. Table, right? That's basically what it should be.
Yeah,
and you can find form tables.
The form table. Yeah.
And in football, they kind of, whatever reason, go like 6-match increments for form tables often, right? Look up a form table. That's a real legitimate. Who's playing the best football right now? And then you know, who are they playing, right? Because it should be the strength.
And
of
then
the
rank it,
too.
And then you've got a power ranking.
Yeah. Yes. But it's not based on opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, so-and-so pundit. Wow, no. In my power rankings, I got number 3, not number 4. Who gives a shit?
Let's do it next week.
Sorry, as Ace is working diligently on his power rankings website.
It's all out.
Hey, when we broke into the top 40 of FIFA rankings, I remember that being exciting.
Was it really? Was there a party? Did the Canada soccer like fly all over to the
party
somewhere and party?
Yeah, of course they did.
It was exciting, though.
What's the highest Canada's ever been ranked? It's got to be around Gold Cup time, right, Craig? Hasn't it?
No, I think was it was recent. We were in the we were 40, and then I think
right?
This team.
Okay.
Yeah, it was this group.
This group at World Cup qualifying. Yeah, that makes sense because they beat both the States and Mexico, right? So lots of points there.
Yeah.
Okay. But they've fallen since, presumably. Losing to Jamaica will do that to you.
I like your support for Craig, though, thinking that his Gold Cup got him into like the top 12 or something.
Still, that is still a massively underrated team. And
yeah,
there's
a
lot
of
Canadian football fans nowadays who dismiss anything before 2022, and it's bullshit. That's my point. That was a good team. You put today's attack with that defense and that character, they're doing some
damage.
Then
we get out of the group.
Yeah.
Maybe, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say it now. Be a semi-finalist, Craig.
There we go.
There's your power rankings.
See you later, Morocco.
International power rankings
your
over the generations.
The past, generational Canadian teams.
Yeah. Sorry. That'd be fun, actually. Have, like, you know, year-by-year Canadian teams over the years and power rank them.
Yeah.
Right. There'd be so much recency bias that would just dismiss Craig's era, which is unfair. But now that would pique my interest.
The 80s teams are good, too. Like the 86 team, essentially. Like, you have some players in there as well.
Got to a World Cup, after all.
There you go.
Yeah, and if you look at the top 20 Mexican players of all time, there are 15 of them were through our generation.
That's the other one. That's right.
That's true. Mexico
time,
way stronger than
them. All, Honduras, the same.
Is that your dog?
Yeah,
whose
it
dog's
is.
That?
Kylo.
With so many bloody animals. See, you got a dog there. You got Craig and Craig's like cat. I got two teenage girls I can hear talking yapping away upstairs.
Animal farm.
That's right.
All right. Next question.
Animal house.
You have to let the mailman know that he's here.
Yeah, mailmen are assholes. You ask any dog.
That's right.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
All right. Hey, so who is wingback Giuseppe Bovalina? He's got a great name. He has to be good with that kind of name. Giuseppe Bovalina.
Yeah, youngster, teenager from Adelaide United. Haven't had a chance to see him play here yet. Coming in next week, a recent signing just before the deadline by the Vancouver Whitecaps. But more of a depth play. I think we talked about potential acquisitions last week and mentioned, yeah, they could use bodies pretty much anywhere. But the wingback position in particular is an area of need with the international windows coming up. So that's something that they kind of addressed with Ali Ahmed potentially playing for Canada. And then you'd also have Sam Adekubi potentially playing for Canada as well. So that was an area that they wanted to address, and that's why they brought him in. But to like the upside, speaking of Ali, they said he's got a similar profile. Ali's pretty unique, though. When I haven't seen many players play the way Ali does, just relentlessly going at people. But if that's a decent indication for the type of player he is, a pretty dynamic one, it could be an exciting signing for the Vancouver Whitecaps here.
He's 19 years old.
Adekube played on the other side of the pitch, didn't he, against Seattle?
Yeah, so yeah, if you're wondering, which side Giuseppe's going to play, it's hard to say at this stage because Vanni Sertini has shown that he'll play people almost anywhere. So could use him on the left or right side. Sam played on the opposite side this week. Always in his entire career, he's always been on the left side, attacking left side, likes to get wide and cross it in, obviously, and then he used him in an inverted role, thinking that they can maybe attack through the middle a little bit more with him kind of, pushing passes and attacking through the middle. So that was an interesting situation against the Sounders last week. I think it had its moments, but it switched back in the second half against the Sounders. Sam got back to his left side, and I think he had a little bit more impact on that the side he's more comfortable on the left side there.
I must say though, Craig, I mean, you've played the game for many, many years. This whole, it's more of a modern thing, the inverted fullback, although, it's not the first time in the last number of years. It was around way back in your day as well, but it seems more popular now, at least. I like the concept. Why should he be, pigeonholed to one side of the pitch?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, there's very few players over there ultra comfortable on both sides, and they generally have a stronger foot. So if you got two strong feet, then it doesn't really matter. But then some managers like guys coming in, like if you're playing on you have a strong right footed coming in on that right foot inside and in swinging balls into the box. So some guys are quite comfortable with that as well. And managers like that, something to change things up.
Hey, so what do you think the perfect 11 is for Vancouver? Say there's a final tomorrow, right? How are they setting up? Because you mentioned Sam. Sam's just got back, right? I know. I'm sorry. Sam's just got back. We know how good he can be, how dynamic he can be. We've got Ali, who's dynamic. You've got Nuki coming in. You got such depth in Vancouver, and that's been the story all year long. But if it's one match tomorrow for all the marbles, like, what is your 11? What is your 11 looking like?
Yeah, you got Yohei in goal. The back three gets a little interesting. So last week they went with Ranko in the middle. That one's, first on the team sheet. And then the competition between Blackman, Laborda, and Bjorn Inge Udvik is interesting. I think right now, that's tough. I like Blackman. You probably go Blackman, Udvik at the moment. Kubas, Again, that's an easy one, playing as a six just in front of them. And then, yeah, it gets a little bit interesting, I guess, with Schopf and Vite as potential, like, eights.
Which one? You're the coach.
This is tough.
You're the coach. It's one game. It's currently from what you see in this season.
Okay. I like Schopf. Well, they've played both of them, and then Schopf would play out wide. So you can go Kubas, Vite, Schopf, Ali on the one side, Gold, White, Fafa. That's the 11.
Front three is pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's Sam out. You just made me rattle right through.
I can't believe you just trashed Sam. Right now.
I know.
It's tough though, right? But that's a great. I mean, the fact that you're having difficulty is a testament to how good this team is.
No, it's true, and it's a great group, and they've got like a really good core that they've kept together for a long time. We've talked about that over and over again, but I think that helps with the new players coming in, just kind of understanding the culture, the style of play, and it's a good group right now. It's a good team to cover. Fafa, though, update on that situation. So he didn't play last week, back spasms. He's been limited training so far this week, so his status for the weekend is hopeful at this stage. But he's an important part of their attack. So, that's an interesting one. So he essentially didn't play last week, and Sam got that opportunity up top on that off wing for him. But, when he's healthy, it gets tough to pick the 11.
And Thatcher Demko?
I don't have an update on Thatcher Demko. You had to go there with it, hey?
Good. All right, sorry.
Oh, it's great. It's too soon, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, probably too soon, yeah. Listen, I'm a Leaf fan, so it's never too soon. You got to take advantage while you can, all right?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So fun.
All right, listen, that was good. Craig, anything you want to add?
No, not really. Just that I think that from a player's point of view, I think they're all chomping at the bit to be part of this squad and get in the starting lineup. I think it's never better than when you've got good results going and being part of that.
Well, really good match this weekend at New York, because the Red Bulls have been a good story so far as well.
Yeah, that would be the statement win if they can get it away from home, right? That puts them number one in the power rankings if they get it.
Yep. Going to search the top.
Yeah, we'll see.
See you, Columbus. Real Salt Lake. Who's number one right now, according to the MLS? Is it Real Salt Lake?
Miami.
Columbus.
It's Miami,
isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, and then Miami.
Vancouver has had some pretty big matches over in their history in New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Soccer Bowl was in New York.
Yeah, right.
They should call it the Soccer Bowl again. They should rebrand MLS Cup. Yeah. Soccer Bowl. So American. It is. Amazing. All right, fellas, thank you. I enjoyed this. You know, you've taught me through what's been a very trying afternoon watching Everton beat Liverpool to basically crush their hopes of winning the Premier League. So I've got a smile on my face now. Thank you.
We're here to help. Support group. We're here for each other.
Check out all our...
It is interesting, though, isn't it, that a city like Liverpool is about the size of Hamilton, Ontario, population-wise. They have one massive, massive club, and then a really big club with Everton's, or the poor relative. But half of that city is happier than hell that the other half of the city's got no chance of winning the league.
Yep. You know what? My answer to that is that, yeah, no one's got... Neither team's got a chance to win the league. Neither.
Yeah.
Everton. Anyway, let us know what you think about this podcast. Subscribe, like, and all the various podcast platforms. Check us out on YouTube, Footy Prime, and our website, wearefootyprime.com. All right, until next week, thank you very much, and cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Thanks, Asa.
Good show, boys.
That was great. I enjoyed that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.